In Parshat Korach, we learn, of course, about the disastrous rebellion of Korach and his followers. However, at the end of the Parsha, in Perek Yud Zayin, we read about another rebellion, and that rebellion is against the Kihuna of Aaron. We start with Pasuk Vav in Perek Yud Zayin. Vayilonu kol adat b'nei Yisrael mimocharat al Moshe v'al Aharon lemor atem hamitem et am Hashem. Vayihi b'hikahel ha'ida al Moshe v'al Aharon vayifnu el Ohel Moed v'inei chisahu ha'anan vayera kevod Hashem. Vayavo Moshe v'Aharon el p'nei Ohel Moed. In response to the effects of Korach's rebellion, B'nai Yisrael claim that it's Moshe who killed God's people, and they demonstrate against Moshe and against Aharon, and they go to the Ohel Moed. And Aharon actually is the one who saves everyone. And if you take a look, for example, we keep reading, Vaidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor heromu mitoch ha'idah hazot v'achale otam keraga v'yiplu al p'neihem. Hashem really is interested, so to speak, if we could use this word. Hashem really says, get away from this community and I'm going to kill them. I'll destroy them. And it's Moshe and Aharon who fall and beseech, so to speak. And then we turn to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Moshe el Aharon, kach et hamachta, v'tein alea eish me'al hamizbeach, v'sim ktoret, v'olech mehera, el ha'ida v'chaper alehem, ki yakza ha'ketzef, milifnei Hashem hechel hanagef. Moshe says to Aharon, you got to take the machta, you got to take the pan, and you got to place some fire on it from the mizbeach, and you have to put ktoret on it quickly, because the magefa is already has already begun. Pasuk Yud Bet, Vayikach Aaron kasher diber Moshe vayaratz el toch hakahal v'inei hechel hanegev ba'am vayitein et haktoret vayichaper al ha'am. And Aharon, continuing Pasuk Yud Gimel, vayamod bein hametim uvein hachayim vatei atzar hamagefa. And then the Torah continues. How many people died? It's almost 15,000 people died in addition to the ones who died from Korach's rebellion. 14,700 people. 14,700 people died. It would have been more, Chas v'shalom, had Aharon not interceded. And yet, despite this, we have another test, or maybe we'll say proof, that Aharon is still supposed to be the one in charge, and that turns us to Tet Zayin, right? Daber Hashem l'mishalei mor, daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'kach me'itam matem mate levet av, me'et kol nesiehem levet avotam, shnei masar matot, ish et shemo tichtov al matehu. It's going to be the test of the mate, and everybody's going to take a staff, every nasi from every shevet is going to take a staff, and each one's going to write their name on it. And in Pasuk Yudchet, ve'et shem Aharon tichtav al mate Levi, ki mate echad lerosh beit avotam. There was only one mate for Levi, and Aharon's going to be in charge of that. What do? You have to place these matot, in the Ohel Moed before the Aharon, and then Pasuk Chaf tells us what the test is going to be. Ve'haya, says Hashem, ve'haya Ha'ish asher evchar bo matehu yifrach, v'hasikoti me'alai et lunot b'nei Yisrael asher hem milinim aleichem. Says Hashem, whoever's staff blossoms is the one that I choose, says Hashem, and I will, in this way, says Hashem, rid myself of all the complaints that b'nei Yisrael are directing against you. So Pasuk Chafalev tells us, Vayidaber Moshe el b'nei Yisrael lemor, el b'nei Yisrael, vayitnu elav kol nasiyehem mateh l'nasiyeh echad, mateh l'nasiyeh echad. Levet Avotam, Shnei Masar Matot, Umate Aaron, Betoch Matotam. So all these matot are together, and what happens? Vayanach Moshe et hamatot lifnei Hashem bi'ohal moed, bi'ohal ha'idut. I'm sorry. Vayanach Moshe et hamatot lifnei Hashem bi'ohal ha'idut. And then Pasuk Chag Gimel tells us what happens. Vayihi mimacharat. Vayavo Moshe elohal ha'idut. Vihine parach matei Aharon levet Levi. Vayotze perach. Vayatze tzitz. Vayigmol shkedim. Unbelievable. Miracle. The next day, Moshe comes into Yom Moed, and look what happened. The mateh that had Hashem's name, Aharon's name on it, blossomed. There were leaves, and it was blossoming, and almonds were already there ripening. On ripe almonds on the mateh. And Chavdala tells us that Moshe takes out these matot, and they all see, vayiru vaykhu ish matehu, and that's it. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hashevet matei Aaron lifnei aidut lemishmeret laot lifnei Mary, utchal tlunotam mealai velo yamutu, vayas Moshe kasher tziva Hashem oto kein asa. Everyone sees, it's clear, that Aharon's is the one that wins, so to speak, and believe it or not, it is that mateh that is taken and it's placed as an edut or laot. It's a mishmeret laot. It's safekeeping, so to speak, keepsake. And it's going to be a sign for anybody who wants to rebel, take a look at this mateh. And Moshe does this. Unbelievable, unbelievable. What a zechut. There are so many times in our history where there's a battle for leadership in the Torah itself, but in the Gemara, and in the Mishnah, and the Gemara, and afterwards. And what a zechut there is here to really have literally divine sign, a divine indication as to who is supposed to be in charge. And that is what happens. Now, as Rashi understands the pasuk we read in pasuk Chav Gimel, vayihi mimacharat, vayavo Moshe alo alaidut, vihine parach matei Aharon. As Rashi understands, number one, the staff had flowers. Two, vayotze perach, there were flowers. Vayotze tzitz, and there were buds. Vayigmol shkedim, and there were almonds on it. Perach, flowers, tzitz, buds, and almonds, vayigmol shkedim. Now, we can understand why almonds are used throughout Tanakh. There is something very interesting about the way almonds grow. They bud very early, but they ripen very late. In other words, there's a very long process of development, of growth. So they bud very early in the season, but they're there for a very long time and they ripen very late. So almonds, of course, a vaygmol shkidim, almonds represent shkida. What is shkida? It is diligence. It is industriousness. It is hardworking. It is assiduousness. It's the old expression of slow and steady wins the race. And as a matter of fact, take a look at the very beginning of Yirmiyahu in the Perek Aleph, exactly this. Vayhi dvar Hashem elai lemor, ma ata roeh? Yirmiyahu, va'omar makel shaked aniroeh. This is the nevuah of makel shaked. Very nice. And what does Hashem say? Vayomer Hashem elai. Hetav telirot, says Yirmiyahu, you saw, Hashem says, you saw well. Ki shaked ani al dvari lasoto. Turning the makel shaked into the noun almonds into shaked. I will do what I say. I will keep my promise. And so we can understand why shkedim represent Aharon. You don't become a leader overnight. Poof, you're a leader. No, it's slow and it's steady and it's hard work. And this is what makes Aharon. You can't just wake up one day and say, I want to be a leader. Korach tries it. It doesn't work. Other people later in the parsha, we don't know, but we don't know their names, but they rebel. I want to be, no. Aharon represents shkida, hard work, investment of time. However, it's very clear, as we mentioned in the Pasuk, and in a moment in the Gemara we'll see, it's very clear that the fruit and the flowers and the almonds were all on the mateh at the same time. In the Pasuk we saw it already, Vayotze Perach, Vayotze Tzitz, Vayigmol Shkedim. But the Gemara too is very clear that the almonds and the flowers are together. Says the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Bet Amud Bet. Tanya, learn in a Braita. We all know that the Aron, at the end of the first Beit HaMikdash, as it was clear that it was going to be destroyed, it was Nignaz, it was put away. And says the Gemara, Tanya, we learn in a Braita, Misha Nignaz Aron, when the Aron, HaKodesh, was put away, Nignaza Imo, along with it, went a few things. Number one, Tzinzenet Haman, a jar of man, Utzluchit Shemen HaMishcha, and the anointing oil. And I'm going to skip one because I'll come back to it. But anyway, Argaz, Sheshagru Plishtim Doron Lelokei Yisrael. Again, the box that the Aron was placed in when the Plishtim, in the early days of Shmuel, when they tried to, when they took the Aron, it didn't work. They sent it back to Beit Shemesh and then to Kiryat Yarim. That box was placed in the Aron also, but then I skipped one. What did I skip? What was also placed in the Aron? Umaklo shel Aharon, the stick, the staff of Aharon, ushkedeha ufracheha, the almonds and the flowers. And it's very strange. It's very strange. Why is it strange? Take a look. The Rush. The Rush on that Gemara says the following. Tema. So it's really a wonder. Lama hizkir prachim. Why would the Torah, and here why would the Gemara, mention flowers? Halo gamluli yodshkedim. What happens on every tree? There are flowers. The flowers begin the blossoming process, but then when the flowers fall off, the fruit begins to grow. So, but here it's very strange. You have flowers and almonds both on on the stick at the same time. Why would that be? The Rush himself on the spot offers one answer. The Rush says ve'efshar, it's possible demiktzatan nasu shkedim umiktzatan nisharu prachim. The Rush says, you know, it's true. Some of the flowers fell off and became almonds, but some stayed on. Pashut. What's not so pashut is why. Why would that be the case? Whether there's flowers and almonds together, whether some of the almonds turn in, but what does it mean? What does it do? What message is it trying to send us? So the Malbim on the Pasuk says, ask the same question. And he says something very interesting, and maybe I'll even say painful. Says the Malbim, of course you're right. Of course the flowers should have fallen off, but to make way, so to speak, for the almonds. However, in this particular situation, there was a necessity for a miracle to occur. A miracle to occur that the flowers were there. Why? I'll read inside in the Malbim. V'neis ze haya muchrach lehe asot, says the Malbim. This miracle had to happen. She'im haya pricha levad, haya omer she'moshe karat bad shel ilan shkedim ba'et she'aperach alav. Says the Malbim, the faith in Bnei Yisrael was so low. I'm sorry, the faith in Moshe was so low that and tenuous, and in that of Aaron as well, that if they did not see the flowers on the staff, they had to see the flowers and the almonds. Why? In order to allay suspicion and fear that Moshe literally cheated. That literally Moshe switched. That everybody put staffs. And Moshe went ahead and cut his own staff, wrote Aaron's name on it, but he cut a branch that already had almonds on it. So the Malbim says there had to be flowers and almonds together to show this is a miracle. There's no such thing. There is no such thing as an almond tree that has flowers and almonds together. It's a nes in order to make sure that nobody questioned Moshe's honesty and Aharon's legitimacy. There's another beautiful answer that I wanted to share, and that is from Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein, of course, so well known for his Igrot Moshe, and he also is well known for his Divrot Moshe on the Gemara. He, of course, is also well known for his Darash Moshe. Darash Moshe, his Perush on the Chumash, and if you take a look at Darash Moshe on Perak Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, this week's Parsha, V'hine Parach Matei Aharon Levit Levi, etc., Rav Moshe Feinstein says the following idea. He asks the same question that we understand, that we've been asking all along. Why did the flowers stick around? And why? And if they were there, what was the necessity of the miracle? And says Rav Moshe Feinstein, "Vitzarich lahavin." I'm sorry. Ach hatam hu sheherenu bazeh shepirchei kedusha einam novlim ve'einam kalim leolam pirchei kedusha. The flowering of kedusha einam novlim ve'einam kalim leolam. The flowers of kedusha never go away. They're always there. They never wither. Novlim, from the word navolti bol, as Yitro told Moshe that he's going to wither away if he works so hard. Veinam kalim, they never end. Leolam, forever. Vihine pri hamitzvah, hu asiyat hamitzvah gufa. The fruit, so to speak, of doing a mitzvah is doing the mitzvah. Vihaprachim, what do the flowers represent? Heim dvarim hameviim lazeh. Flowers bring fruit. So I shake a lulav, very nice, that's the mitzvah. I sit in a sukkah, very nice. But the flowers are there to lead to the fruit. What are the flowers here? V'yadinan mizeh shegam haprachim nisharu kayamim leolam. Flowers for a mitzvah fruit, so to speak, stay forever. V'yadinan mizeh shegam haprachim nisharu kayamim leolam dekol hatircha v'hatzar shebalo lekayem hamitzvah v'lilmor haTorah kayam le'ad. They last forever. All the preparations and the hard work, the groundwork that leads to a mitzvah, lasts forever. Delo ki bidvarim gashmiim shemeshalmim schar rak ba'ad hapri. In gashmi things, you only get reward for the work that you do. If my car is having trouble, I take it to the garage. If the mechanic fixes it, I pay. If the mechanic says I can't fix it, I'm not going to pay. And the mechanic says to me, well, I worked on your car for an hour. Well, I'm sorry you worked on my car for an hour, but you didn't do anything. No, you're right, I didn't do anything. Well, I can't pay you. That's true about everything. What can I tell you? You get married and the photographer doesn't give you a wedding album. Well, there's no payment for the photographer because that's the way it works. You only get paid at the end. And that is what's true in the Gashmi world. People are interested only in the bottom line, the fruit. But in that world, the effort, the time, the preparations don't count for much unless they lead to action. They lead to a bottom line. However, when it comes to Kedusha, it is absolutely not true. The hachana mitzvah, the preparations that a person performs, the flowers that bring the fruits, are important to a Kadosh Baruch Hu like the mitzvah itself. And that's why, in this case, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, the flowers remained on the branch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us an incredible, very powerful message. The fruits developed, says Hashem. And it's true, that, in other words, the almonds came. But I care about the flowers also. The hard work ahead of time. I do care about the hard work ahead of time. And that actually is similar to what we say whenever we have a chance to make a siyum. We say the following in the Hadran Alach. One of the things we say, one of the messages we say is, Anu amelim v'heim amelim. We work hard and they work hard. Everybody works hard. Anu amelim u'mekablim schar, v'heim amelim ve'einam mekablim schar. We work hard and they work hard, but we work hard and we get rewarded, and they work hard, they don't get rewarded. And the question can be asked, what are you talking about? People in the Gashmi world get rewards for their hard work? And the answer is no, exactly this idea. They only get rewards for the end result. A mechanic gets paid at the end, a painter gets paid at the end, a baker gets paid at the end. But anu amelim u'mekablim schar, we are amelim and we get reward, we get schar for the amelut. Even if nothing comes of it, nothing comes of it. I remember my Rebbe, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, Rav David Lifshitz, said in a phenomenal pshat. It sounds so simple, but it really is true. We know that one has to be very, very careful about tzudashli sheet. No question about it. We have to be very careful. Even in the wintertime when we're not so hungry, you got to eat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us three meals, we eat three meals. What happens if for some reason, one way or the other, we just literally cannot have food, whatever it is? So we learn Torah. Beautiful. There's a whole message there. Why would Torah take the place? But Rav David Lifshitz, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha, asked a very simple question. What happens if, okay, I don't have any food, or I can't get the food, whatever it is, and I learn a Tosfot. And I spend an hour learning the Tosfot, sweating over the Tosfot. Beautiful. And at the end, I get schar, so to speak, for Shalosh Udos, and of course, in Talmud Torah. The next morning, I go to Shir, and I say, Rebbe, I learned this Tosfot. This is what Tosfot says. And the Rebbe says to me, what? That's not what Tosfot says. You misread it. You didn't understand that Gemara that he quotes. You didn't understand what? The whole thing down the drain. So not only did I lose my Torah, I also lost my Shalosh Udos. And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. I was Yotzei Talmud Torah, and I was Yotzei Shalosh Udos, because it was the Amelut that I care about. It's the Amelut that I care about. And this is the time of year Korach falls out at the end of a school year. And some of you listening finished a year in Israel. And some of you finished a year in college. And some of you finished a year at work, even though the work year usually doesn't follow the school year. And the question is, so I'm done? That's it? I'm finished? No. All of this, everything I do every year, me too, is preparation for tomorrow. Is preparation for tomorrow. What I worked hard on this year and my midot and my avodat Hashem and my avodah shabalev and my work ben adam lachaveiro. That's not just, okay, I'm done. That's stepping stones for going forward. They're not the end. They're the beginning. I'm starting from scratch. Tomorrow's a whole new day. And may we be zoche be'ezrat Hashem itbarach to appreciate, of course, doing the mitzvot. And of course, learning the Torah. And of course, achieving and accomplishing. But let's also appreciate that everything we do is preparation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu values the flowers. He doesn't only value the trees. May we be zoche to not only be at Mashiach Tzidkenu, but we are recording this now while we all are with nervous tension. All of us cannot stop thinking about the three boys who were taken doing nothing wrong, completely chaf mipesha, completely nothing to think about other than being Jews living in our homeland, taken from their homes and taken from their families. And if I may say, all the efforts to get them back, of course, are very important. There's one piece that I would change a little bit if I could. Everyone is talking about bring the boys home. I would just, with all due respect, I would say bring the children home. These are children. Bring the children home. And let us remember that all of our efforts are chalila, not in vain. All the things that we do, bein adam lachaveiro, bein adam lamakom, small things, better tefillot, little more tzedakah, a little more mitzvot that we can do, they all do not go to waste. And Emir Tzashem, we're going to see Bimheiravi Amenu, the safe return of Gilad Michael ben Bat Kalim, of Yaakov Naftali ben Rachel Devora, of Ayal ben Iris Teshura, and all of the, they should return home to their families safely, and all of the soldiers who are looking for them in harm's way, they should return home to their families safely. Be'ezat Hashem, all the efforts will not be in vain, and the efforts and the flowers and the fruit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes and counts, and we should see Biat Mashiach, Tzidkenu b'mehera v'yameinu.